السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, Allah سبحانه وتعالى in Surah النساء Allah سبحانه وتعالى said: وما لكم لا تقاتلون في سبيل الله والمستضعفين من الرجال والنساء والولدان الذين يقولون ربنا أخرجنا من هذه القرية الظالم أهلها واجعل لنا من لدنك وليا واجعل لنا من لدنك نصيرا. Allah سبحانه وتعالى said in Surah An-Nisa, which means, and what is wrong with you that you do not fight in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who are weak and ill-treated and oppressed among men, women and children, whose cry is, our Rabb, rescue us from this town whose people are oppressors, and raise for us from you one who will protect, and raise for us from you one who will help. My brothers and sisters, we are looking today and facing one of the most severe man-made crises of recent times. And I say one of the most severe because this is not the most severe and this is not the only one. But one of the most severe man-made crises of recent times, which is the oppression, the genocide of the Rohingya people. I remind myself and you that peace is the result of justice. Peace is an effect. Justice is the cause. Where there is justice, peace is the result. Where there is no justice, there will always be people who will arise to fight for justice. Oppressors call them by various names, because oppressors have always had only one definition for peace: the absence of resistance to oppression. But the world needs those who fight for peace, who fight for justice, like a drowning man needs air. Without them, the world will be plunged into the darkness and silence of the graveyard. A silence that doesn't indicate peace, but death and annihilation. Those who want peace must stand for justice, must fight for it, must break the silence, must raise their voices, use their power and resources, take the pain and lose sleep. Only then can there be peace, when justice is established and the rights of people are restored. Until then, any apparent peace is only a recess between wars. We live in a world of cause and effect. All those who live in it are subject to the law of cause and effect. However, to only one species did Allah grant a level of understanding and intelligence where it can change effects by addressing causes. To that species, human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu sent His messengers. He sent His books. He sent His guidance. And He gave them a responsibility. The responsibility to look after everyone and everything else. Everyone and everything on the face of this planet was made subject to human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised their status not because there is anything special in their creation biologically, because I can give you examples of other creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which biologically are far stronger, are far more long-lasting, are far more complex in their creation. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that level of precedence, that level of honor to human beings because He gave them a responsibility. And that responsibility is to look after the rest of creation as a trust. As long as they fulfill that responsibility, they have been given the permission to benefit from the rest of creation. But when they leave that responsibility, and when instead of fulfilling the responsibility of the trust, they start violating it, they become culpable of violating trust, of treason before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they become liable for punishment. My brothers and sisters, in order to diagnose illness, we look at symptoms. Symptoms indicate to us the real cause, which is the disease itself. So while we may treat symptoms to give the patient temporary relief, we are clear in our minds that for a permanent cure, we must address the cause. Symptomatic relief is always temporary, never permanent, because the real reason for the symptoms has not been addressed. What is happening in Myanmar today to the Rohingya people is a symptom. It is a very serious, tragic, entirely avoidable, and entirely curable problem. But it continues and gets worse because it is a symptom. So while I encourage you, entreat you, exhort you to do your best to help the poor, battered, and oppressed Rohingya people in every way you can, I must remind you and myself that what is happening in Myanmar is a symptom, not the disease itself. What is happening in Myanmar happened many times in the past. I don't want to list those instances, but many of us lived through them and recall them very painfully, especially those who are from this city of Hyderabad. That is perhaps the reason why, when that pain is relieved, we prefer to forget what happened and don't like to be reminded. The purpose of reminding is not to simply relive the pain, but to extract lessons and ensure that we learn them and change our ways. That is the only way to cure the disease. Without that, the symptoms will only recur in another place later. So what is the cause? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the cause and told us what the cure is. But before that, he drew our attention to himself, Jalla Jalaluhu, so that we don't lose sight of the fact that what is happening in Myanmar, what happens anywhere, is the result of the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not despite it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلِ اللَّهُ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكَ قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكَ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرُ إنك على كل شيء قدير تولج الليل في النهار وتولج النهار في الليل وتخرج الحي من الميت وتخرج الميت من الحي وترزق من تشاء بغير حساب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayat of Surah Al Imran, which all of us know, say, O Allah, possessor of the kingdom, owner of the kingdom, you give the kingdom to whom you will, and you take the kingdom from whom you will, and you honor whom you will, and you humiliate whom you will. In your hand is all good. Verily, you are able to do all things. You make the night enter into the day, and you make the day enter into the night. You bring the living out of the dead, and you bring the dead out of the living. And you give wealth and sustenance to whom you wish without limit, bighayri hisab, without limit and without account. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned all calamities, trials, tribulations, problems that beset us and told us why they happen. He said, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون قل سيروا في الأرض فانظروا كيف كان عاقبة الذين من قبل كان أكثرهم مشركين. Evil trials, tribulations, calamities, evil has appeared on the land and the sea because of what the hands of men have earned. It hasn't appeared because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala randomly decided to create a problem. It did not appear because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suddenly lost the power to change things. It appeared because we earned it. It appeared because we decided that we wanted it. I am not saying this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this. Evil has appeared on the sea and the land because of what the hands of men have earned. لِيُزِقَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And we allow this to happen. We allow the trial and tribulation to happen. We allow the pain and suffering to happen so that people can get a taste. This is not the full recompense. They can get a taste of what their deeds have earned for them so that they may return to us. The cause and the effect, the disease and the cure. The disease is what we brought on ourselves. And what is the cure? Change your ways. Turn around. Tubu ilallah tawbatan nasuha. Turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely. Make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا وَيُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Nuh alayhi salam said, I said to them, make istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verily He is the one who is the most forgiving. And He will remove your difficulties and He will send on you rain and He will give you children and He will give you wealth. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلُ. Go and travel in the land and see what happened to those people who came before you. See what was their ending. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, go and tour the world, see the world, what is happening and see what happened to people who came before them. Don't go as for eyeball time. Don't go do tourism for fun. Go to learn. Ask questions. And bring about changes in your lives. There's no time to do a detailed analysis of all of this to prove to the doubtful. So I'm going to leave the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you to contemplate. And suffice to say that if we want to create a society which is based on greed, ostentation to feed that greed and raise the aspirations of people to compete, not in contributing, but in consuming, then we must be prepared to face the fact that everything, including human life, environmental welfare, peace, harmony, even the akhirah, will take second place to greed. It is not accidental that the problem of the Rohingya people seems to have escalated from the time that huge gas reserves have been discovered in the state where they come from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seems to put fuel to run this world under Muslims, which instead of being a means of benefit for them becomes the cause of their suffering. Not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that to happen, but because of what we choose to do with the resources given to us. But as I said, If you want to promote good, if you want to promote greed, you will get human rights violations in the same package. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that we are the architects of our own world. We write our own destiny, and we can rewrite it and alter it if we wish. The choice is ours, because it is we, not Allah, who is suffering. But when we refuse to see the signs, and we refuse to recognize the symptoms, and continue on our chosen path of self-destruction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what He does. He said in the ayat of Suratul Anam, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, so when they forgot the warning, when they ignored the warning, when they reject the warners with which they had been reminded, when they ignored the warning with which they had been reminded, what did Allah do? Did He immediately punish them? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we opened to them and we opened on them the gates of every pleasant thing, until in the midst of their enjoyment in what they had been given, all of a sudden we took them to the punishment. أَخَذْنَاهُمْ. We grabbed them. We took them to punishment, and lo, they were plunged into destruction with deep regret and sorrows. As we know, not a leaf falls, not a bird flies, not a wave of breeze fans us, not a wave of the ocean moves without the knowledge and will of Allah. So how can anyone oppress anyone else without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowing it to happen? And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us why He allows it to happen. It happens because we choose to ignore the warnings that Allah sends us when we exceed in transgression. When we insist on angering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we break His laws and ignore and trample on the sunnah of His messenger Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, drunk with power, secure in our wealth, forgetting that to Him we owe it all, even unto the last breath in our body. We insist on living an intoxicated life, a life filled with toxins. That is why it is called intoxication. Of arrogance, self, toxins of arrogance, of self-aggrandizement, greed, self-indulgence, and love of this dunya. We insist on living a life where it is easy to stay awake all night in parties, designed to anger Allah, but difficult to the point of being impossible to pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid. Maybe even pray Salatul Fajr at all. The icing on the cake is that not only is this acceptable, but if someone points it out, we get angry and abuse that person, forgetting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching what you do with those who remind you of Him and of your and our meeting with Him. As I mentioned earlier about disease and symptoms, the symptom, say, ulcers in the mouth. The symptom doesn't indicate that there is a problem with the body in that specific place. The actual problem may be in an entirely different place, due to which there are ulcers in the mouth. So while you treat the ulcers with some local application, the doctor will ask you to change your food habits, your sleep patterns, deal with stress, and take antacids, and do other things, in an attempt to deal with the real problem which is causing the ulcers. The world is a body. The ummah is a body. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this ummah is a body. When the head pains, the whole body feels the pain. The problems of the Rohingyas are ulcers, which indicate a serious disease in the body. The disease of selfishness and greed, of ignoring our meeting with Allah, of living in this world as if we will never leave it, of ignoring the Akhirah as if we will never go there. I remind you and myself that while we must do our best to help the Rohingya, let us help ourselves and change our ways and lives. Let us stop angering Allah. Let us live lives with only one focus, to please Allah. Let us fear the anger of Allah which can put us in the same position as those who are suffering today. Because of our actions, they are suffering. The suffering of the Rohingya is not because of what they did, but because of what we do and continue to do. Today it has become fashionable. There are two things that have been floating around. One is a speech of Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Abul Hasan Ali Nadvi Rahmatullah Alayh made in 1961 in Rangoon, where he, one can say, predicted what is happening today. But it is not so much a prediction as an advice given to the people of the time saying, do this, this, this. Otherwise, you will face these difficulties. What I am saying to you today is not a translation of that speech, but in effect the same thing. He also mentioned exactly the same things 56 years ago. How many people received that audio or that link on WhatsApp? Let me see a show of hands. Lots of people, right? How many people forwarded it to other people? More show of hands. How many people listened to that whole thing yourself and made a decision to change your lives? Two people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen you. This is the evil of social media. It gives you a false sense of satisfaction of having done something by doing nothing. Do you think the speech is there for you to forward and that's it? Kamoga? The second thing which has been coming is severe criticism of the Middle Eastern rulers. People saying that how is it that the king of Saudi Arabia calls himself Khadimul Haramain? How is it that they are the people who are ruling the haram? And how is it that their lives are filled with evil? First and foremost, the people who are talking about that, have they seen the lives of those people? Are they filled with evil or not? I don't know, because I have never been inside one of those palaces. But my point is, assuming that is true, simple question I ask you and myself is, effectively, what are you saying? You are saying, here is a person or here are rulers who claim to be religious, who claim to run religious institutions, who claim to be responsible for religious institutions, yet they do not follow the religion in their own lives, yet they do things which anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask you and myself, go and look in the mirror. What is the difference between you and them, except in terms of magnitude and scale? What is the difference? You also run religious institutions and you also anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in what you, in how you live your lives. Tell me that I am lying if I am lying. You also run religious institutions and you also support those who insist on doing haram by going there, by participating. So why do you criticize somebody else? The only difference is that they have more, so they do more. You have less, so you do less. It's not a difference in piety. It's just a difference in your inability to anger Allah more, because Allah did not give you enough. My brothers and sisters, the time to get real has come. Stop living in intoxication. And this is the reason why our dua has no effect. People ask me, Yaar bhai, make dua. Am I a Nabi? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam refused to make dua for people who did not make effort themselves. A man came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua that I should be with you in Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will make the dua, but you help my dua by living a life which has actions which will take you to Jannah. So you want to continue your haram life and you want me to make dua? Do you think dua is not being made? Dua was made just now in Arafah. Dua is made in the haram every day. Dua is made in the holiest of holy places. Ask yourself, why is it not accepted? There's no shortage of dua being made for the relief of suffering of people, of Muslims in Syria and Palestine and Iraq and Afghanistan and Myanmar. And this is not even a complete list. But that dua, even if it is made in the holiest of holy places, has no effect. The imam makes the dua, we say ameen, we feel happy, but the problems remain. Why? Ask yourself why. As the man said, the answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Dua is answered. when the hands raised for it had first been raised in the obedience of Allah. Dua is answered when the hands raised for it had first been raised in the obedience of Allah. Dua is answered when the voice that calls out for help had first called out the praise of Allah. Dua is answered when the one asking for help has done his best to help the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I said, this is not my fatwa. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Where he said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu in tansurullaha yansurkum wa yuthabbit aqdamakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, if you help the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will help you and He will make your feet firm in the land. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, there are no one-sided promises in the Quran. All promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are reciprocatory. To get something, you have to do something. As I said, a world of cause and effect. If we want a particular effect, we have to address the cause. If we want the help of Allah, we have to help the deen of Allah. Not simply by paying some money, but by ourselves living a life of submission to Allah. We seem to have imbibed the philosophy of others. We seem to think that we can live a life which can be completely full of haram, completely full of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as long as we give some money to a madrasa, as long as we give some money to an alim, as long as we give some money for charity, this absolves us from all sin. Somebody sent me a cartoon yesterday of Mukesh Ambani, his wife and daughter, I think it is. These three people standing in the temple and saying, Bhagawan, kuch chahiye to batana. That is our state today. We think we are doing Allah a favor by whatever charity we give. My brothers and sisters, wake up. Wake up. A time will come when you and I will realize specifically and physically the meaning of one breath. When it gets stuck in the throat, and when all others will stand around us watching, and they can do nothing. And I'm not just drawing pictures. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described. فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبُصِرُونَ فَلَوْلَا إِنْ كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. My Rabb challenged and he said, you think you are so strong? Then return that breath. Return that breath. Make him breathe. Make him breathe. Pull out your credit cards. Pull out your checkbooks. All this great wealth you are so proud of, use it. My brothers and sisters, we think that shirk is only to bow before idols. But shirk is not only to bow before idols. Shirk is to give our personal desires precedence over the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, I did not say that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكِيلًا. In Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Muhammad, have you not seen those who have raised their desires to the level of a deity, who worship their desires as their ilah? They say, La ilaha illallah. But they actually mean, La ilaha illa hawa. There is no one worthy of worship except my desire. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. And you think that throwing some money at Allah will save you? My brothers and sisters, understand very clearly. Those who do evil and those who support that evil by participating in it are both equally culpable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who does ghibat and the one who listens to that ghibat, or the one who is sitting in that company, are both equal. The one who makes fun of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who mock the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the one who sits in their company, are both equal in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anybody wants references of the Quran, ask me, I will give you for all of these ayats. So don't think that you can escape by saying, bhai to nahi kara. Nahi kara to gaya kai ko tha. Jana karna dono barabar hai. We are in a crisis situation, for God's sake, wake up. And that crisis is not what is happening in Burma. The crisis is what is happening in your life and my life, which we refuse to address. On the contrary, you get angry with the one who reminds you. Keep your anger. Makes no difference. Because the best protector is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you do your work, wallahu asimuka minan nas, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you from the people. My brothers and sisters, I remind you, and I remind you, and I remind you, and I remind you, the solution is very simple. But like any solution, it will work only and only and only if we implement it. Until then, await the trials, one after another, like the waves of the ocean, until one day we meet Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from yourselves. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect your families from you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from shaitan and from all the shurur of the ins wal jinn. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to give you and me the hidayat to change our lives and to make them obedient only and only to Him. To stop fearing everyone and anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. To have enough backbone to stand up for the truth. We have an excess of calcium in the head and a shortage of calcium in the backbone. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow some of that calcium in our skull to descend into the backbone, so that we get the bone to stand before ourselves and our nufus. The biggest oppressor is inside us. It has got a name. Go and look in the mirror and recognize and call out that name. That is your enemy. Not shaitan. Not anybody else. The man in the mirror. Because all change begins with the man in the mirror. And when I say man in the mirror, it applies to women as well. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ